We made a promise to the fine listeners of Pro Wrestling Ponderings last time. Well, Justin Houston, rather, made a promise that he would not be on another J&K Fun Hour podcast if Chikara was the topic at hand. So, I'm here all alone to talk about King of Trios. Actually, that's not true at all, because we actually just renamed the show to bring Justin back on. Isn't that right, Justin?
That's true. That's what occurred. I got a little heated, and things were said that weren't necessarily true. I had done a new concoction and a higher dose of several medications that I take, and altogether they sort of created a bad spontaneous reaction at the end of the last show. So everything's good now. I'm sort of in a better mindset. I've learned to control it mostly. And we did a little brainstorming, and we came up with Viva Chikara, which you will hopefully enjoy now with us.
That's right. And considering most of the J&K Fun Hours posted on this website were dedicated to Chikara anyways, it only seemed fitting to steer it in the direction of that because, you know, J&K Fun Hour really doesn't tell you anything about what the show's about. So, but now this does. It's about Chikara, if you didn't guess. And this is our huge, mega, gigantic annual King of Trios preview episode where I have meticulously put together a bracket of all these years' trios and matches. I am not confident in my decisions whatsoever, but I did it anyways because we had a show to do. Justin, I think, has some idea of what he wants to do. And we were supposed to have Matt Waters on with us because it makes sense for three men to talk about a tournament of trios, and Matt was kind enough to join us last year when we did this, but he is nowhere to be found. We're actually
Matt's a dick, so we killed him.
Well, maybe later. We need to find an explanation of why he's missing. Maybe someone else killed him first, and that wouldn't be good. But we actually pushed back our record time for a whole hour waiting for him to get on, and he's not here, and we have a show to do. The show must go on. So
I'm exhausted.
I know. It's like, what, 5 in the morning?
Already, yeah. No, it's like, it's 9:13 here, man. Ugh. PM. I'm tired.
Yeah. Maybe you can just have your girlfriend pour your dinner in your mouth and massage your throat while you go to sleep.
No, that's disgusting. Well, all right.
If it's like pancakes or something, it could work.
I guess that's true. You use the pancake to sort of funnel in the syrup, and then you wait. I don't like this. Stop that.
Sorry.
We're down to business. A name like Viva Chikara screams professionalism and concise planning and topical areas and organization. You know, stuff like that. So what do we have that's organized and topical?
Well, I guess we can talk about this tournament, King of Trios. I hear there's some buzz around it. I feel like people are kind of maybe sort of excited for it.
I think that's the sound of the swarm slowly eroding parts I like about Chikara.
Even after watching the July shows, you're still not on board with it.
Okay, so obviously if you've been listening to these, clearly I'm not up on my Chikara when I talk extemporaneously. Like, that Mr. Touchdown, he's got a mean suplex, you know, like I've been busy and doing other stuff, but I caught up just because of illness and things like that and just having the time. I was able to catch up, and for the most part, I really liked what I saw, and it got me more back into the product and things like that. So we'll sort of, King of Trios is a time that I feel like people really who don't normally follow Chikara, they sort of, you know, dip a whole foot in the pool and like, all right, let's see what this is about. And
right. There's got to be people who the only Chikara shows they see every year is King of Trios, and that's it.
There really are. I mean, you know, it's the numbers don't lie.
I mean, it's like the people who bought the TPI every year, and that's all they watched of IW Mid-South.
Right. Those were, you know, smart consumers, like myself. No, they used to put on great stuff. Don't kid yourself, IWAMS bashers. Yeah, so I watched the June and July shows, and the June shows, the Canada show, kind of iffy on that, but the Smack in the Middle, the New York show, I enjoyed that quite a lot. Some components I wasn't really feeling sort of got fleshed out, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. And then the July shows, which were really, really good, like right where I like Chikara and what I like about Chikara. It helped that I watched half the show, the Great Escape. That was the sort of the first July show. I watched half of it with a 4-year-old who thought that kobolds moved the demon toilet. The demon's toilet was the greatest thing she'd ever beheld. That has since been replaced by the Incredible Hulk bashing Thor left, right, left, right, left, right. But before that, it was the demon's toilet, which she thought was glorious. So that certainly enhanced the experience. But that show overall was really, really good. And a big component that came out of it was a storyline they're doing right now. Maybe the biggest overall storyline that they're doing is that the director of fun, Wink Vavasour, has decided to implement a system of, in his mind, better measuring results in Chikara. Wink has never been totally familiar with the product. And at times, even when he seems like he doesn't know what's going on or should know more than he does, he likes to keep it at arm's length. Almost in like a snooty sense, like a, you know,
he's above all this.
Higher than thou. Yeah, like he's above all this. Just basically like any speech you've seen Paul Ryan give, sort of like that. Like, you know, he just give him the job is what he wants. He doesn't want elections and things like that. Just let him do what he do. Like, that's how he thinks in his brain and then speaks it. So he's been sort of mucking up teams and trios and things like that out of confusion. And the three biggest ones, and you will see them in night one of the tournament, which is obviously going to be the first 8 tournament matches. We'll get into that a little bit. But the other three creations that he's had have sort of been teaming for a little bit now, getting more familiar with one another. We have 3.0, the former Campeonatos holders. That's Scott Parker and Shane Matthews. They normally team with El Generico as 3.0-le. They have a myriad of partners they team with, but one guy they do not team with is the guy they're stuck with right now, and that is Gran Akuma. In a team that, at this point, Scott Parker has dubbed Booyakuma.
You're welcome, by the way.
do you really think that was you? Or do you think they?
I certainly said it before they did. I don't know if they listened to our podcast, or, I mean, it's not like it's the most original creative thing in the whole world, although, you know.
No. They don't listen. We need to make something clear to the listeners as well. No one in Jakarta listens to our podcast. They dissect our podcast segment by segment to determine the best course with which to pursue their creative avenues in the future. That's clearly how it works. I can see of no other explanation. Just look at the roster page. You're welcome. Okay, so they're sort of teaming with him, and they've had success. They've actually been doing really well, even if they don't really like each other, because Gran Akuma has fun never. Literally none of the letter. Okay, there's an N, but there's no F or U. He's all about the FU, and I think that 3.0 is trying to bring the N, the fun, together, and it doesn't work as a sort of character dynamic, but they're winning matches. So that's something. They're in the tournament. And the other two, it's either through Chikara Brometrics. Part of it's Chikara Brometrics that Wink has came up with. Part of it is just Mr. Vavasour is just clearly confused. The colony, last year's winners, Fire Ant, Soldier Ant, and Green Ant, are no longer the colony that you are familiar with. It's Fire Ant, Green Ant, and who's the third? Is this Assailant? Is he the
one? No, it's it's Assailant, yeah. Blue Assailant. Ant. Okay. That's right.
Okay, Blue Ant, yes. Good old Blue Ant is the one who's in. So Assailant is now in that group. They got lumped together as being the bottom of the ants, basically, or the rest of the ants. Whereas the top ants, the top guys, were considered Combat Ant, Deviant, and Soldier Ant. They are together as the Swarm. So you have sort of an interesting situation where Soldier Ant is still wrestling, for whatever reason. I don't know why he's trying. I guess that's just his nature. He's a competitive guy, so he wants to keep on wrestling. Tries to encourage them and to do the right thing. Stops them from cheating. And has so far been the absolute best part about the Swarm feud. There was this great moment where he stops them from cheating in a tag match against the Spectre Envoy. Stops them from cheating, and Ultra Mantis Black comes in and levels Deviant with a clothesline, levels Combat Ant, looks at Soldier Ant. With barely moving, Soldier Ant just gives him a wave of the hand, like, hello. And then so he just goes right back to it, like, not interested in helping these guys at all. Wears a prisoner of war, you know, POW tag on his arm that he's got tied off. So clearly wants no part of it, but you get the feeling he's having fun kind of screwing with these guys. At least I do, because it's been pretty funny. Now the other dynamic, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the colony, when they're teaming, Assailant really, he sort of seems like he wants to team with them, correct?
I don't know. They've only had one match as a trio, and it's not on the DVD yet.
Okay. All right. It may be something that I've read. From the sounds of it, he wants to actually, like, get in there and be a team player or something. Yeah, that's sort of something to watch out. So very different roles for them. But that's sort of where Chikara is. They're in sort of this place where the director of fun has made a lot of wacky changes to some core groups, and you're not really used to seeing that. What are some other big storylines that we can go
over? Well, I mean, you forgot to mention, I guess it may not be, it might be reflecting the term, is that Sugar Dunkerton is now a member of Fist through the same number method. He was rejected from being on the Throwbacks team by leader Mark Angelosetti. They chose to go with Matt Classic instead, who a perplexing choice considering that Matt Classic has cost the Throwbacks their matches the past 2 years. He was pinned in the first round of both last year's tournament and the 2010 tournament. So the fact that Angelosetti would choose him over Sugar Dunkerton is a head scratcher, to say the least. But Dunkerton really wanted on the team. He's a team player. That was his whole thing. And so Wink agreed, but instead of giving him what he wanted and making him a throwback, he went to the Chikara metric system and made him a member of Fist. And, well, obviously this was kind of put in Fist's lap, and they're not necessarily on board with this. Icarus has even gone as far as to call Sugar Dunkerton the water boy of Fist. So he may be ringside supporting his team. It seems like, from what I'm reading and what I'm seeing, that Dunkerton, while not thrilled with it, he wants to make it work. He's going to be on Fist. He wants to be a team player. He wants to make this unit work out. So there doesn't seem to be dissension so much yet. But, you know, Dunkerton's on thin ice. Obviously, Icarus doesn't like him being there. So if he screws up even a little bit, there could be some ramifications there. But, yeah, so he could be ringside to cheer on his team for this. Also, I guess another bigger storyline here is that Delirious has taken the Bateria under his wing and also brought an Ophidian to the mix. So those five are now one of the top Rudo factions in the company. They need a name, though. I don't like that Delirious' affiliation on the roster pages, the Bateria and Ophidian. Let's give them a name. Let's give those five a name.
Well, it's sort of it's one of those things that I feel like there's still more coming together. There's sort of tying elements. There might be, you know, an element missing to really give them, you know, a proper name without, you know, having to explain something
complicated. Sure, or like expose part of what's coming.
Right. I think that may be a big aspect. The only other sort of outside King of Trios, because a lot of these storylines we'll be able to explain better in the King of Trios matchups themselves, mm-hmm. or the teams themselves. The only other thing is this guy, the mysterious and handsome stranger, he's not in the tournament because he really doesn't know anyone. No one really knows him. All we really know about him is that, he's handsome. He's handsome. He's got a mean leg drop.
He's undefeated.
And he doesn't lose. The man does not lose. So four for four, if memory
serves. Five. Maybe five for five.
That. Five. That's right. So he's... You know, he's a force to be reckoned with, clearly. So that's another big deal. Hoping to see him somewhere in the tournament. I mean, he's, you know, He's undefeated. We're going to see him in King of Trios.
I've got a place where I want to see him, so we'll get to that.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, the guy is the guy brings it, quite frankly, and he puts butts in the seats. So I think everything else can pretty much be summed up within the tournament itself. So that's sort of a taste of the storylines that are going on to catch people up to speed. In terms of I think another helpful thing would be championships. If you like, if you're just deathly afraid of the Chikara Pro website, Eddie Kingston is still the Chikara Grand Champion. He has had to go through some seriously tough challenges. Everyone from Kevin Steen to Sarah Del Rey to Dasher Hatfield. It's been quite impressive to see him run through this litany of people. But he's got another test coming up in King of Trios that we'll get to on night two. There's also a new Young Lions Cup champion as well. And that is Mr. Touchdown, the captain of the throwbacks, the new captain of the throwbacks. He's calling the shots now because, you know, Dasher had a shot. He and Dasher had a shot at the Campeonatos. Dasher was the last guy pinned in that match. And then Dasher had a shot at the, you know, the Grand Championship. Before that, he had a shot at the Grand Championship. And he couldn't get it done there. And now, you know, Mark Angelo Setti is the Young Lions Cup champion, beating ACH in the finals of what is supposedly a fantastic match. The DVDs aren't out yet. They should be out soon, hopefully really soon. And, yeah, so he's champion and leading his team in the trios. And of course, the, you know, still the tag champions holding the Campeonatos. That's the Young Bucks. They defeated Fist for the belts and defended it once against the aforementioned throwbacks. So that's your sort of championship rundown. And I guess that leads us to night one.
It does lead us to night one. Are you ready to do some fantasy booking, Justin?
I'm going to try. This is a weird, wacky group this year. I have done very little planning. They've done a very good job this year. Say what you will about the quality of the opponents or the on paper greatness that you might expect from this tournament. I don't know. I have one clear favorite, one kind of favorite, or one that I could see winning. Everything else is wide open if they get eliminated.
Yeah, I have some confidence in who I want to or in who I see winning. I have mild confidence in my first round runners, and then who I have facing off in the quarters and semis, I have no confidence in at all. So, let's see. Let's get going. Let's get to this. First match, the Batiri, Oberyn, Kodama, and Cobalt take on the aforementioned Buyakuma trio. That's 3.0 of Scott Jagged Parker and Shane Matthews against Gran Akuma. This is a rematch from Give Him the Axe, which ended in a disqualification, giving 3.0 and Akuma the victory. After Delirious ran in, Ophidian joined them, and they beat them down. So, no doubt, 3.0 and Akuma are going to be out for blood in this match. But I see the Batiri taking the win here.
The Batiri should have a lot of momentum here, and if you're going to continue the storyline of Winx, this is the only team that's gone right, 3.0 and Akuma. I have a feeling this is where that team finally goes wrong and the wheels fall off, and the Batiri advance.
Next up, we have the Spectral Envoy, Ultramanus Black, Hella Wicked, and Frightmare taking on the first quattro in the King of Trios. I don't know how Wink let them get away with this to have an extra man. It seems unfair to me. But the men in this match are the infamous, which does not mean more than famous, no matter what Wink will tell you, quattro of men who had a showcase match at Chikara's King of Trios 3 years ago on night two that some have called the worst match in Chikara history. I'm pointing to myself, by the way. Although Chikara mentioned a random match they had back in 06 that I have not watched yet, but I'm a couple shows away from getting to, they said that was worse. So I'll be the judge of that, I guess. But needless to say, it was so bad that the company that ran that showcase match no longer exists. They changed their name of the company because they didn't want that association any longer. So that's that. But the men in question are Pierre Abernathy, Evan Gelestico, Gary the Barn Owl, also known as Gary J, and Davey Vega. So those four men are going to be taking on the Spectral Envoy. Although there's so much speculation on places like Chikara 101 and whatnot that people think something's up with the Submission Squad, because I think I wonder if it's just people because it's such an underwhelming 16th trio that people just can't believe that it's really going to be them. So maybe that's just wishful thinking on people's parts. But regardless, if it's them or another team or something going on, I say the Envoy get the victory here.
Yeah, I I don't know why they would. It would be another team here that isn't. I mean, they announced them. So,
Are you doing coke over there or something? You've been snorting a lot.
No. I am still sick as always. I don't know. This one's kind of tough. I'd almost want to go with a Submission Squad upset based on Delirious's blog that he posted. Delirious posted a blog on the Chikara website basically saying something very, very foreboding. It was a trio's victory is pending, demons. A trio's travesty is pending, adversary. So he is already predicting some very bad things occurring. I think that'll probably come later. So I'm gonna stay consistent and say the Envoy win here.
All right, so we're 2-2 in our predictions of things. Yay! Moving on to another match. Now, the past 2 years on Night 2 of King of Trios have been highlighted by a particular match, and that would be a trios match consisting of the members of Fist taking on three men from Osaka Pro. It was the blowaway match of the 2010 King of Trios, and the rematch is arguably better from last year's King of Trios. This time, it's the same Fist trio as last year, Icarus, Chuck Taylor, and Johnny Gargano, against a brand new team of Osaka Pro people who are quite different from the old Osaka Pro trio. The older Osaka Pro trio from last year had Daisuke Harada, Atsushi Kotoge, and Ultimate Spider Jr. None of those three men are returning. Instead, we're going to be getting a much more comedic team coming from there, that being Ebison. This is the third Ebison. Kikutaro, who is the original Ebison, and Tako Yakita, who, as far as I know, or Tako Yakita, it's one of the two, who, as far as I know, has no relation to the Ebison lineage. I believe that Ebison and Tako Yakita are in the same faction in Osaka Pro. I think Unique Gundam is the name of it.
That is correct.
And then Kikutaro is sort of a freelancer who occasionally wrestles for Osaka Pro.
That's the situation now. He originated there, and now because he's so in demand, he can't really call anywhere home, I don't think.
Right. He was part of the Osaka Pro tag team that came over for the Tag World Grand Prix in 05. It was him and Billy Ken Kidd. So he has some Chikara history there. And he actually went very far in that tournament. I think he at least made it to the quarterfinals. I think they lost to, I think it was Quackenbush and Hiro. In another very good match. So, you know, Kikutaro has some history. This will be Ebison and Taki Akita's debut in Chikara. But here I see Fist getting the win here. I guess it's one of those things where they kind of wanted to get Fist and Osaka Pro out of the way on night one. I guess they really just like continuing that tradition, even if the teams don't necessarily reflect the quality of wrestling we might have expected from the past 2 years. I still think this will be really, really fun. It'll be a very different Fist Osaka Pro match than the last 2 years, I'd say. I think with Fist, especially with those three making the finals last year, and with Taylor and Icarus along with Akuma being the 2009 King of Trios, them losing in the first round to what pretty much boils down to a comedy trio would be shocking, to say the least, and I just don't see it happening. What about you?
This is a tougher one to call for me. First of all, it's the match I'm most looking forward to. This is one of those matches that I point to, and when people say the match quality has suffered, it depends on what you're looking for in a match.
If it's moves, wrong company, folks.
You're not going to see, you know, I don't see anyone doing a top rope, super ultra Frankensteiner.
You're not going to get Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi out of this match.
I do expect there to be some sort of dancing, even casually. Some some pratfalls. I expect no less. I have high expectations for this match in a comedic sense. I expect no less than like Three Stooges level of train wrecks. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the old shorts, you know. I just want to laugh. I just want to enjoy myself. And I really feel like this tournament more than any is lending itself to putting a smile on your face and making you forget to like count stars. Because it's not really what it's about, or it shouldn't be what it's about. It should be about like having fun, you know, and just enjoying a match. And the funny thing is, I can read comedy just fine. I know a lot of people that like they don't know what to do. When a comedy match comes along, they're like, I don't know what to do. How much did you enjoy it? You know, like on what level, you know, when I throw a 4-star match out there for something, that means you're dumb for not watching this. You know, there are certain levels that mean certain things to you personally. Figure out what they are and assign it to the match. I mean,
I know Brad Grun has given some comedy Dragon Gate matches 4 stars in the past. There's a few Stalker Chikawa matches out there that have gotten 4 stars.
4-star means must see. Go out of your way. You will find something to love about it, you know? Just absolutely. And every escalation further than that is just, you know.
I believe Jerome assigns 2 ratings to his Chikara matches. One for, you know, quality or in-ring quality or something. And then second as a just pure enjoyment value.
Right. Great system. That works just fine for him. I mean, that's great. You can come up with it, you know. For me, they're the same value. I get the same out of both things. If I'm laughing, if I'm laughing and I'm in hysterics, I get just as much out of that as seeing someone execute a perfect, you know, spinning tope of some kind, you know, and really, you know, having lots of psychology and stuff like that. I get the same enjoyment out of it. I expect great things from this match. Death-defying moves are not one of them, but I expect to really enjoy myself. Out of all the first round matches, this one far and away the one I'm most looking forward to. And oh man, I really, really, I don't know. I am going to say, oh my gosh, I'm going to go with Team Osaka Pro on this one.
Wow. Okay. All right then.
I don't like the idea of. I like this trio. I don't know what it is. About it, but I like this makeup of guys, and I want to see them go further than just a first round exit, like a comedy exit, you know?
Sure. Do you know my favorite Kikutara spot ever is?
Please tell me.
Did you ever see his match in PWG with Necro Butcher?
Not for a really long time.
So there's this spot where he calls for fans to throw chairs in the ring. And he gets knocked out because the fans are throwing chairs in the ring. It's amazing. I'm just thinking about it.
Folks really need to understand. This guy, Kikutaro, if you're not following him on Twitter, your Twitter is just less enjoyable than mine. Because he just brings this like happiness and joy and just like everything he does. He's so... There's something to be said and something to be... And you know what the funny thing is? I'm going to put over Icarus for this as well. It's very easy to get behind the guy that's, you know, throwing the axe kicks and doing the 450s and 630s and eventually, you know, 1080s or whatever the hell someone's going to throw in the future and die doing. But the willing man to be the butt of the joke.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to say that exactly about this was that this is a match where you have both the good guys and the bad guys are not afraid to make complete and total asses out of themselves.
This is 6 people that are perfectly willing to look completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And in no more spirit do I think of Larry Sweeney than in that capacity.
Right.
When I think of Larry Sweeney, I don't think of the intense promos of Ring of Honor. I don't think of the, you know, sort of cocky joining with the fans of Jakara. It sounds silly, but I think of the guy... Excuse me. So sorry. I think of the guy who wrestled Colt Cabana and Delirious with his ass hanging out for most of the match.
Or the guy who wore a diaper middle of the ring in Chikara.
Why not? I mean, it's just that level of That's what I look for in a in a performer, someone that can in wrestling. It's what, you know. It's funny when people are like, "What makes Chuck Taylor so endearing?" He doesn't really have, you know, he's got one big ooh move, you know, that people do, and it's that he is willing to be as ridiculous and as absurd as it takes. There's no line for him. There's right. no line for these guys. Really, anyone, Fist, that they won't cross to get fans to just enjoy themselves and just like have a good time.
So, right. I don't know Chuck Taylor personally, but just judging based on his performances in certain different companies, I feel like that's a guy who just like hates taking wrestling seriously.
Green hair dye.
Okay, there it is.
I mean, that's what more do you possibly need than like faulty hair tonic?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just feel like watching him like do like serious stuff in Dragon Gate and Evolve and stuff. He just doesn't. His heart doesn't seem as into it as when he's doing stuff like he is in Chikara, like the green hair tonic, or you know, parading around with a swamp monster and things like that.
Right, and even, you know, like they had that match where they teamed Fist team with Ophidian against 3-point Ole and
Grand Oh my God, Ola. I know exactly what moment you're going to say.
And Icarus is like rubbing his belly. And Shane Matthews just screams at him, "I would love to rub your belly," or something to that effect. And everyone loses it on every side. This has clearly become too absurd for words. And everyone just finally stops what they're doing. And then finally, like, that's the straw. Like, that's what it takes. Everyone dying laughing. That's the best part of wrestling, is seeing people enjoying themselves, seeing something, acknowledging how absurd what they're doing is such a, you know... such a cool thing about wrestling, and no other match does it more exemplify that than this one. That's why I'm looking forward to it so much.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Whenever I talk to people about wrestling, I'm like, you know, wrestling kind of like in and of itself is pretty dumb. Like, it's like the kind of itself as a concept is very silly. So let's just be silly with it. Let's make it as silly as we possibly can.
Yeah, and I'm the person that says, you know, oh, you need, you know, you got to have logic and things like that. And I still think that's true. I think you do in a lot of even comedy matches. There is a logic, or there is a there's something that makes sense about the humor. They're not just doing weird stuff to do weird stuff. Case in point: Fist versus the Batiri at Clunk and Love, the show I went to in Tennessee. They're all heels, so they all took turns like beating each other up in the corner, and then they would grab someone and take them to the corner, and then they grab someone and take them to the corner because they're heels, they're cheating. And then they had a six-person like cheat spot where they're all pulling each other's hair, and it ends with like Kobold biting Icarus's back tattoo. Again, it's hilarious, and it still makes sense because they're all dastardly heels.
Well, it's also like I think I heard about this in the Chikaratorium, or I read about it. The eight man with New Fist against, I think it was Green Ant, Fire Ant 3.0. I think Chuck Taylor pulls out the invisible grenade, and somebody, probably like Shane Matthews or someone, like swallows it, and they have to leave the ring because they get indigestion from the grenade. Like, of course, like, I was thinking, like, of course, if you swallow the grenade, you probably get indigestion from that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, listen, you work Davy Richards' arm for 32 and a half minutes. The last three to 4 minutes of this 40-minute epic or so, it will be like it never existed. Because that's how he works. That's what he does. And he thinks it's great and good for him. That makes less sense to me than a man selling an invisible grenade with indigestion. It makes less sense, much less sense to me. So, and is still more entertaining than the other thing. By leaps and bounds is it more entertaining. So it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And how these guys do it, I think it definitely gels well together. So, and it should tell by how much we've gone on and on about this match. And when all is said and done, we'll have gone on about this match more than any of these other ones, for sure.
Yeah, probably. So with that said, we should probably get to the next match.
Right.
It's the makeshift colony, the Wink colony, Fire Ant, Green Ant of the real colony, and Assailant of the Swarm/Gekido group, taking on the Sendai Girls trio. And if you recall, the Sendai Girls came over for Anniversario Weekend. Maiko Satomura is the leader of that group, and she will be leading that trio. And she's bringing along Dash Chisako and Sendai Sachiko, who last time they were here in Chikara, they beat the Bravados and have a point. So maybe if they're not so lucky in the tournament, they can go on and maybe join the tag gauntlet or get some points elsewhere and perhaps try to get themselves a title shot for another time they return to the company. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself because I actually see the Sendai girls walking away from this, the victors, in an upset. I think, you know, Fire Ant and Green Ant were the victors from last year, but I see Assailant probably taking the fall to one of these ladies.
I feel the same way. Well, see, now I'm rethinking it.
Right? Like I said, I'm not like this is one of those matches where I'm like, if the other team wins, I'm like, all right, I guess that's what we're doing. I'm not totally like shocked or anything.
I am going, oh man, because I really feel like Team Sendai Girls going over just makes sense.
That's why I chose it.
Yeah. Oh man. And I don't think they really like, it's such a dumb thing to say, but I don't think they like the Japanese companies. Like, they like going out of the same footing, the same place in the tournament a lot of the times. And I'm not sure about Team JWP going further either. They're later on. It's another Joshi squad.
Life is so hard.
It's so difficult. I am going to go with, I'm going to say the Colony wins.
Okay.
I'm going to say they're going to continue that storyline. If what I heard was true about Assailant really wanting to team with him, maybe Assailant gets the pinfall. Maybe he actually wins and there's actually value to him in the Colony. That's at least an interesting avenue to go down. But then what do you do with the Sendai girls? I don't know.
You're thinking too much.
I've been accused of that a lot throughout life.
Right. Well, I mean, you do say you think a lot about things, so I guess that's, you know, there's not enough people thinking these days, so I'm going to retract my statement. Keep thinking, Justin Houston.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
You be the 1%.
I'll consider it.
All right, now here's another match that could be very interesting, very, very interesting. It's Winx Swarm, Combatant, Deviant, and Soldier Ant, who's actually a Colony member, taking on a trio returning from last year's King of Trios, Mike Quackenbush, Jigsaw, and Manami Toyota. Well, I saw this match at first, and I was like, oh yeah, Quackenbush and those guys, they'll probably win. But the more I thought about it, I think back to the Indianapolis show from last month, where Quackenbush went crazy on 17 and gave him all four Quacken drivers in a row. He had tunnel vision to try to destroy these Gekido guys, and Jigsaw was really not happy with this. Not that he's a Gekido sympathizer or anything, but Quackenbush, you know, his eyes were off the prize. They could have been going for points and trying to get their belts back, but instead Quackenbush wanted to destroy 17. And as he put it in a YouTube video they had recently, that Quackenbush, that's his primary objective now. He's not being a nice guy anymore. He no longer feels like he's Chikara's ambassador now that Eddie Kingston's the champion. So now he feels like he is more open to going ahead and destroying these guys. So I think that's going to happen here again. I think Quackenbush is going to get tunnel vision on the Swarm members. I think he's going to go crazy on Deviant and Combatant, and I think it's going to ultimately cost him and his team the match. The only thing that kind of keeps me away from thinking that's going to happen is Toyota's on the team. I don't know if necessarily they would want her out of the tournament in the first round, but at the same time, think of how awesome that would be for Quackenbush to not only damage his reputation with Jigsaw further from costing them King of Trios, you know, the biggest tournament of the whole year, but also with Manami Toyota. You know, how much more strain can you damage the relationship if Quackenbush got so selfish that he let the Queen of Joshi down by going and doing things for himself? So that's where I think they're going to go. I think Quackenbush is going to go nuts on the Swarm, the at least Combatant and Deviant. Who knows? Maybe Soldier Ant will get in his trajectory, and he'll suffer some of the Quacken rage too. So That's my prediction. What do you say? Oh, and so that means the Swarm, I say, is going to win this match. What do you say, Justin?
I think that totally happens. And I think it happens in the second round, not this round. I think there's a moment where you think Mike's going to snap, and either Jigsaw keeps him under control or, you know, convinces him to just tap him out or something along those lines. I think it is saved for a later round. Sort of keep that question mark. You know, they're clearly in this tournament, they have a good shot at it, you know. There's a lot of mixed teams and new competitors. So storyline-wise, they should have the edge over almost everyone in this tournament.
Totally.
So I think teasing it before just outright doing it, there's some value there. So, yeah, I say Joshi and the Luchadors, they go on.
Alrighty then. Yeah. I like that we're not having all the same predictions for all these things.
Yeah, last year, it needs to be said, too, that I really feel, and it doesn't bother me saying this out loud, I noticed that we weren't, in last year's King of Trios, we did a lot of work. We were enthusiastic about everything. What wasn't there to be enthusiastic about? And we didn't really get retweeted much by Chikara. We didn't really get much attention. It doesn't bother me, but there was so much attention for everyone else and everyone else doing things. And I feel like that I'm so proud of our site and the work that everyone else not named me does. And I feel so lucky to be part of that and like have my name slightly attached to it. I was kind of bummed about it. And then it sort of dawned on me that we predicted everything right. Everything that we said collectively came true. Why would you publicize that? So I guess that was my rationale. I thought we sort of nailed it. So it's not a good thing to like say, listen to these guys. They're, you know, they're good. And
cause they're spoiling the tournament.
Right. Yes. Here's the tournament for you in audio form. Not good for buys, I guess. So, that may not be the reason. That was just my clearly egocentrical, I'm sure I just said that word wrong, but I'm so medicated. That's just my way of thinking. Yeah, this time totally clueless. So if we get it right, swear to God, total accident. Cannot rationalize any of this. I am not in anyone's booking head this time. I don't know what in the world's going on. And in some ways, I really like it, and I look forward to the results. So, I guess we'll know whether we got it right or not, because if we're totally ignored again, I guess that's a good indicator. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of King of Trios preview things now to up to. So
there are tons. I mean, that was another thing. I was like, well, there's a lot of people doing it, and it's not like Chikara wasn't doing work. You know, all those guys were going different places and doing media and pushing and putting it over and just doing a fantastic job of doing that. So it's possibly could have just got overlooked and it was coincidence. I can say for certain this year, no idea, no clue.
Yeah. Also, Chikara throws us a lot of love on the follow Fridays for our websites. That's fine. And also a lot of people give Chikara special love too. So I'm okay with all this.
Right. Yeah. They're very, very supportive. This specifically was the only instance that I thought that was kind of peculiar.
Like there's some times where I'll put a YouTube video up, and you know, anytime I can, I'll try to put the person's Twitter handle who's involved in these things in the video. And the one thing that I really do appreciate is that, like, say somebody like I think Jigsaw did this. I know Bryce does it a lot. When I put him in an event center and I do that, he'll post the link to my Tumblr as opposed to something else. Like, you know, he could link it directly to YouTube if he wanted to, but he does it on my Tumblr link. And I think Jigsaw did that too recently when they put up the full Gekido Chikara 10-man tag from Chikarasaurus Rex. They threw out the Tumblr link instead of the directly to YouTube link. You know, it goes to the same place, but you have to go through the Chikara special Tumblr to get there. And sometimes it gets new followers, and I'm always super appreciative when guys do that. So if anybody out there happens to be listening who has done that, thank you.
Yeah, and again, they're really good about supporting their fans, supporting them, you know. So that's silly as that sounds. That really is a big deal. Yeah. So good on them.
Yes. But we'll move on to another match, I guess. We'll talk about King of Trios again, I guess. Throwbacks. As you had said, Mark Angelo said he's the Young Lions Cup champion. And although he is the newer of the throwbacks, he is a champion. So he is now going to lead the throwbacks team. And, of course, his cousin-in-law, kind of, whatever that relationship is, Dasher Hatfield, his recent partner, he's obviously on the team. And as much as Sugar Dunkerton had wanted to be on the team, instead he went and chose Matt Classic, who, as I had said before, has been on the throwbacks team for the past 2 years in King of Trios and has also lost in the first round for his team again. So it's very possible that could happen again. They're going to be taking on Team JWP, which I believe is the Japanese Women's Project, and they're going to be coming in. It's Kaori Oniyama, who came in for Joshi Mania. She's one of the younger members of the roster. I thought she was retiring, but I think she changed her mind, like in winter of last year.
Yeah, she did.
So yeah, so she's not retired. She's going to be on this team. Tsubasa Kurigaki, who I think was one of the more underrated competitors of the Joshi Mania weekend. She had a great match with Sarah Del Rey on night two. She was in a great six-person tag on night three, and her and Kaori teamed with another JWP person to take on and defeat Archibald Peck and Los Ice Creams on night one. So she's back, happy to see her back. And coming with them is Commando Bolshoi, who I think may be the president or leader of the JWP company. And she was supposed to be at Joshi Mania, but I believe an injury kept her out. But now she's here. She is going to be here instead of being at Joshi Mania. She's making up for her non-appearance at Joshi Mania by coming here to King of Trios. And I have JWP moving on. And I can see them doing the thing where Matt Classic loses again. But with Angelo Setti being a champion, I don't know if they want to have the Young Lions Cup champion out so early. Although, again, they could avoid him taking the fall and then, you know, credibility is saved or whatever you want to say. But this is the first round match that I had the hardest time choosing. But in the end, I'm going to say JWP and probably look silly.
Oh, okay, so you went with JWP again. There's something to be said for, just logically speaking, when you're the one damn company that is consistently trying to put over women's wrestling without being all about women's wrestling, it seems silly for both of your female teams to go out at the same time. So I'm already sort of regretting my choice of the Colony. and it makes me want to take it back really badly. But I'm not gonna, because I'm already in it, and I really have no idea what I'm doing. I have no, I'm just choosing things. There's no logic behind it. Last year, all logic, chose every match but one correctly. Everything made sense. It was fine. This is just wackiness. Excuse me. This time, I am going to say, what am I gonna say? I believe the throwbacks are going to win here. It makes literally no sense for the throwbacks to win at all. Mr. Touchdown doesn't need it. Matt Classic, him losing would continue that storyline. And if Dasher was the one that took the pinfall, continuing the storyline of Mr. Touchdown, you know, starting to lose faith in his fifth cousin once removed or whatever it is, it makes more sense. But I'm already this far, Kevin. So we might as well just try to shoot the moon and get them all wrong.
True.
So I'm going with the throwbacks.
Yeah, and don't forget the storyline of Veronica not being happy with Dasher. She doesn't think that Touchdown should really be involved with him.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So there's that. Okay. So you say the throwbacks, I say JWP. Woo, we're like, what, 2-6 now?
Probably.
All right, so moving on to two matches that I think are a little bit easier to predict. The Faces of Pain, the Warlord, the Barbarian, and Ming. That is a real team, like those guys from the 80s and WWF and 90s and WCW. It's a conglomeration of those teams, with the Barbarian being the similar partner for those two teams. He's the guy who brings Ming and the Warlord together. Ming's coming out of retirement for 1 weekend to do this, so that's pretty sweet. And the Powers of Pain are curiously booked on the Pro Wrestling Syndicate show the same evening as this. So, yeah. That's happening. But their opponents, I don't think they're booked anywhere else. And that's Team Ring of Honor. Currently, the Campeonatos de Parejas, or the Campeones de Parejas. the Young Bucks, Nick and Matt Jackson, are going to be on that team, teaming with the debuting Mike Bennett, one of the most hated men in Ring of Honor, and he will be bringing along the lovely Maria Kanellis, former WWE diva, former Playboy playmate, his current beau, with him to assist them and be ringside for moral support. And I think, as big as the faces of pain are, as much as they would probably beat the living snot out of the sissy boy Young Bucks and the brash and arrogant Mike Bennett, I see Ring of Honor getting the win and probably using some underhanded tactics to do it. That's just my call. I don't know if I see all three members of the Faces of Pain sticking around all three nights and wrestling all three nights. I know people are really anxious and really want to see Ming versus Eddie Kingston, but I don't know if that's necessarily in the cards. I'd love to see it. I really would, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So I say Team Ring of Honor wins here, and the Faces of Pain either go home or maybe we see the Powers of Pain in the tag gauntlet later. But yeah, I still say no matter what, Ring of Honor wins.
Yeah, I have to go with the same, just because it's I don't know. There's not a whole lot of value in the Faces of Pain going on from here. Ring of Honor. I'm gonna go with Ring of Honor here. Good God.
Great. Yeah. Don't overthink things. And then we have our final match, which I can only assume will main event night one, because it is the most star-studded match of the whole tournament. Team WWF, representing three men from the 90s WWF era, returning from last year's amazing three-night tournament, the 1-2-3 Kid, who just had an awesome match with El Generico on night three. That's a match you got to see if you haven't seen it. He'll be teaming with Tatanka, who's making his Chikara debut, and also making his Chikara debut, Aldo Montoya, the Portuguese Man-O-War, better known when he's not under the hood as Just Incredible, but he's going to be Aldo Montoya again for this weekend. They're going to be taking on the Extreme Trio, three men representing the past ECW days. Tommy Dreamer is going to be leading the team. He is the only one of the three who has any Chikara experience, as he came in to have a match with Eddie Kingston at Anniversario in 2010, and then again to team with Eddie Kingston against Claudio Castagnoli and Aries at the original Chikarosaurus Rex show. And he's bringing along with him Too Cold Scorpio and Jerry Lynn. And obviously there's a couple big things to talk about in this match. The first, of course, being the history of Jerry Lynn and the 1-2-3 Kid. Obviously they had some notorious matches in the Global Wrestling Federation back in the early 90s. A lot of people point to those matches as being partly why light heavyweight and cruiserweight wrestling was put on the map in the early days in the United States, and why then that evolved into ECW and WCW bringing in guys of that style. And then obviously 1-2-3 Kid helped build the stage for smaller guys coming into the WWF and making it a more acceptable form of professional wrestling in the United States. And their matches are pretty well revered. They had one in Minnesota a couple years ago that gets some praise. So I think the interaction between Waltman and Lynn is going to be really, really fun to watch. And as I said, Aldo Montoya was better known as Just Incredible, obviously, in his ECW time. So I'm sure his ECW cohorts are going to love laughing at him as he's under this gaudy yellow and green and red outfit pretending to be a Portuguese guy, and probably give him a little hell for it. So I think those are the two big things to look at here. But I think the Team WWF is going to get the win here. I don't know what the Extreme Trio could do, although Jerry Lynn and Too Cold Scorpio could both be in Rey de Valladares, if that's even happening this year, on night two. And Tommy Dreamer could always team with or face Eddie Kingston again somewhere later in the tournament. So I say Team WWF picks the win here. Justin, yay or nay?
This is another one that's kind of tough. I think it's really tough, but there's some. I'm going to go Team WWF as well. Just to, like you said, I think there's more for the Extreme Trio to do later on in the tournament. There's stuff that they can do. There's more flexibility there than would be for Team WWF. So yeah, I'm actually we'll agree on the first two and the last two. Team WWF it is.
So let's move on to night two. Do you have an idea of which quarterfinal matches you would like to see?
Yeah, I actually threw it together while we were talking.
Awesome. Okay. So let's talk about those, and then we'll talk about the one match we know for sure is happening on night two. So the first, actually, no. Since I did this whole thing, I'll let you say. Throw out what do you think first quarterfinal match?
I have all four quarter vinyl matches being sort of kind of logical stuff. I have the Batiri taking on the Spectral Envoy. Should I just say them all?
Might as well, yeah, I guess.
All right, man. All right. Batiri Envoy facing off in the quarterfinal round. I have Osaka Pro versus the Throwbacks. I have the Colony versus Joshi and the Luchadors. And I have Team ROH versus Team WWF.
Okay, that's interesting. So mine is Fist versus Ring of Honor. If you recall, that's a match I've been touting for a while that I want to happen in round one. And when I was booking this tournament, this is the match I had in mind to go in the second round because I still want it to happen. And Fist, since 2008, to me has been known to be that team that has the best, well, I don't know if say the best, but has a really, really good trios match on night two. And I think that's going to be continued here with their match against Ring of Honor. Obviously, the two Osaka Pro matches in 2011 and 2010. Because of the amazing Ibushi four-way and the Team Uppercut versus Master of 1,000 Holds match, I think the First Family Fist Trios match from 2009 Night 2 really does not get the credit it deserves. It's a really good match. And then, of course, they had the way the tournament was structured in 2008 was a little bit different, so they had two matches on Night 2. First one was against Sweet and Sour Rank against Sarah, Tank Tolan, and Bobby Dempsey, which was fun but nothing really special. But then they had the star-making performance with the Soul Touches in the second round in 2008, which really made the Soul Touches the what they were in Chikara for, you know, a few years. They haven't been around recently, but, you know, they were here and there, and they were made a big deal, and all of it was based on that performance with Fist. So I'm hoping we'll get a really good trios match out of Fist here on night two. I put the Sendai girls against the JWP girls in the second round. If they really want to showcase these women athletes, I think there's nobody better to do with than each other. And, you know, there was a crazy all-women's trios match on night three of Joshi Mei this year, so I'm hoping we can get something similar like that on night two. I had the Batiri against Team WWF, and then I had the Spectral Envoy against the Swarm. And I have Fist beating Ring of Honor. I've got the JWP team beating the Sendai girls. I have the Batiri against beating WWF, and I have the Envoy beating the Swarm. What you got?
I don't know. I have let's see. Yeah, I end up with Batiri and WWF as well. With the Batiri winning. And Colony Osaka, strangely enough, with Team Osaka Pro winning. Again, because comedy wrestling is awesome. It's really the only reason. With, in the end, are we moving on to night three? Because what was your finals?
My final, I haven't said my finals yet.
Oh, okay. I thought you had...
No, I just said my winner, who I'm winning in the quarterfinals. I said I have Fist, JWP, Batiri, and Envoy moving on to night three.
Right.
Okay. And you have?
So, yeah, and I've got Batiri, WWF, and then Colony Osaka.
Okay. So then what would your semifinals be?
It would be that would be Batiri, WWF facing each other, and the Batiri going on, and then Colony Osaka with Osaka going on. So Batiri versus Osaka in the finals.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yes.
So my semifinals are Spectral Envoy against Fist and JWP against the Batiri. Then I have the Batiri and the Envoy as the finals of the tournament. So you both have Batiri versus Envoy, just in very different rounds.
It needs to be said now, if Batiri and the Envoy are the finals of the tournament, it will be the most obvious finals in the history of the entire tournament. I mean, that much is... Just go look at the poll on who people think are going to win.
It's those two teams.
Chikara 101. It's not even close. It's those two teams.
Yeah, definitely.
So it'll be... that's the only reason that I'm sort of...
well, then why not have that as the finals? Put the two teams that people... And then people will be like, I don't know who's going to win. Because that's like... You know, if it was, I think Batiri versus Osaka Pro. How is that not obvious who the winner is going to be?
Because I really felt like, for whatever reason, Osaka Pro was the dark horse in this tournament. I don't know why I liked those three wrestlers so much. They'll probably end up being out in the first round. But I really liked those guys, and I just wanted to sort of see the comedy wrestlers inexplicably do really well. So, yeah, that was my reasoning behind that. But I don't know. I just think it's a bit too obvious. I think there's something we're missing. But that just seems – who do you have winning?
Oh, the Petiri.
Okay, yeah, same here. So we have the same result in the end, the Petiri winning, just like everyone else does. Mm-hmm.
Very different ways of getting there.
Well, yeah, pretty different ways. So, kind of a crazy tournament to predict, and I don't look at it, and I don't see what they're trying to do or where they're going. Which in this case, in some cases, that's a bad thing. In this case, it's a good thing. You know, I can't just look at it and, you know, just get it, understand it. So it's going to be kind of a wild tournament, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, man, it's going to be good times. But speaking of Osaka Pro, we actually know one of the non-tournament matches on night two, and that is because Osaka Pro wrestler Tadasuke, who you may be saying that name sounds familiar, well, he's the guy who won the Young Lions Cup last year and then went home to Japan and sat around with his arms folded. He did defend it twice in Japan successfully, but we've never seen those matches, and we will never see those matches. And now he's coming stateside after his cup reign has ended to go ahead and get a shot at the Grand Championship. He's going to be taking on Eddie Kingston for that very title, which, hey, you know, he held the Young Lions Cup for a year straight, so I guess numerically it makes sense that he could come back here and challenge for the Grand Championship and have that all make sense. And him and Kingston, when Kingston went over to Osaka Pro last year in 2011, they were both part of the Joker stable. He teamed with him, with Joker, not Joker, that's the name of the stable. He teamed with Tadasuke a couple times, and so they have a little bit of history together. But Tadasuke is no longer a member of Joker. Now he's a member of the Glare faction, along with Hayata, who I don't believe has been in Chikara ever before. And he was with, I believe, Daisuke Harada is in that as well, is he not?
Yes, Harada is sort of the de facto leader, I guess, because he's the damn champion. Mm-hmm. And Tadasuke and Hayata are the tag champions.
Right, they won an Osaka Pro tag tournament, I believe, did they not?
No, I don't think they won the tag tournament. I think they just won the tag belts in a three-way.
Right, but I believe they also won a tag tournament.
Did they win the tournament? Okay, they might have won the tournament as well. I might have missed that part or just thought it was someone else. I always think the big guns win everything, so that may have been where my confusion was. But, yeah, they're no matter what, they are the champions.
Yeah, indeed. So that's a thing. Kingston's winning, yeah.
Yes, yeah. If Tadasuke wins, no one let him out of the building.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm not joking. If he leaves, it's not coming back.
Well,
ever again.
Well, I think he wins, then Wink just needs to have him face challenger after challenger on night three until he just loses.
No, I just, oh man. Do you? I can you imagine the heat and the hatred that would come if Tadasuke won? And he was just like, all right, whatever. And he sort of, like, he hooks the belt on backwards and just sort of, like, strolls out, you know. Oh, my God. I would lose it. I would be in the audience, and my brain would go, I have to do something! Just, like, hop up and get punched in the face.
That's going to be me. Like, he'll win the title. I'll just be like, Wink, lock the door.
Yes. You really need to, like, stand up. I don't know why it needs to be in a Scottish accent. Would just scream, you cannot do this! And just go to tackle him. So
it'd be so awkward if I just yelled in the Scottish accent over the building.
Yes, over the cries of children and grown adults everywhere from the title leaving again. But excuse me. So why don't we just make it simple? Eddie Kingston wins.
Yes. Another Osaka Pro thing, though, is this character that is coming, and he's going to be at night three. I believe Chikara has posted him as Yonaru Sanders, but the Osaka Hurricane website has him as Yonel Sanders, and I kind of trust them more to get it right. So Yonel Sanders on night three, which is basically looks to me like Kiku Taro in a Colonel Sanders looking character outfit. And he's got a bird on his shoulder, as does the mysterious and handsome stranger. So I'd really like to see that match happen.
Yeah, probably will. And there's going to be some sort of Osaka comedy tag, because clearly Osaka is going to be losing in the first round, and they're not going to the finals of this tournament. The more I'm there.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of tournament you booked, but it sounds wrong and weird.
I've been bored at work booking Fantasy Chikara. I've been telling Kevin this. I've just been sort of dabbling in King of Trios. Already, I have a Kings of Comedy team of Colt Cabana, Kiku Taro, and Archibald Peck, Artie Evans doing characters. That team goes way far in my tournament, like bizarrely far. And I think I'm just hooking myself onto that I like the idea of a comedy team doing really well in the tournament, even though it's clearly flies in the face of anything logical at all.
But, right.
Oh, well.
It happens. You're just stuck in that universe, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not changing it now. I already said words. Right. Whatever.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, I'm going to break some serious kayfabe here. Is Yorno Sanders not Kiku Taro wrestling in a different persona?
No.
It's a completely different person?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. He's one of the young kids. Actually, he's one of the guys that Tadasuke defended against. Well, no one knows who it is, but the theory is that it's what was his name? Now I gotta go to the roster page. Going to the roster page, gonna find Mr. Touchdown's face, gonna click the Young Lions Cup banner, scrolling down, Kaz Mihara was his name. I believe Kaz Mihara is the guy that portrays him, or the guy that people think portrays him.
Can he bring over footage of his title defense when he comes?
They'll reenact it.
Okay, that works too. Just grab the Smart Mark crew. Go outside to the playground outside of Easton. We know there's one there because Ultramanus and Chuck Taylor wrestled on it.
Right.
And just have them redo the match and perfect. Put it as a DVD bonus.
It's only been a really long time, so yeah, that'll work out awesomely. As awesomely as it worked out to have your at the time only singles championship float away to Japan.
Truth. That is truthful. Truth facts. We do know two matches happening on night three. Obviously, there's going to be the quarterfinals and the finals of the tournament, which we gave our predictions for, some better than others. But we do know that Ophidian is going to take on Saturin. Neither of them are in the tournament. This match happened in Wrestling is Fun. I think Ophidian won that. It was all right, I guess. So Ophidian will probably win here, too.
Yeah, I guess. Who cares? Why would they announce this match? Who the world is like?
I'm telling you, it's just like, relax. You know, they're going to be there.
You're going along, you're scrolling, you're like, okay, the semifinals are the final round. Oh, the tag gauntlet's back. That's something, I guess. Gets shorter every year. Saturnine and Ophidian booked the hotel room. Like, it's just such a weird thing to add. And it gets the orange banner for some reason.
Well, I think you had stated previous on the before the show, just like, you know, obviously people have fans of Ophidian and Saturnine, so people who might lament the fact they're not in the tournament at least know they'll see him in a match over the weekend.
You know, if you explain to the people listening that I've already come up with a logical reason for something existing, my rants become less credible.
Yeah.
Not that I have much to begin with, but when you're already like, now off show, you've already discussed this at length and come up with a clear reason this exists.
Kayfabe killer.
To yell, and that's not me, Kevin.
I just break kayfabe. It's what I do.
It really did. That's sort of, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I still feel that way. It doesn't change the fact that I think it's a weird, like, just matched ad. And I can't even look at Ophidian's mask anymore because it's all over the place. I mean, what happened to this mask?
I don't know, dude.
It's like, I don't know. His mouth is the bat symbol. He's got two dots for a chin. What is it? What is it doing? I don't understand. He's got this weird chin thing that just dangles and...
You need to relax.
I guess. It's just, it's so weird looking. Just look at it. You're just... Look at it for really... Don't blink. Because blinking, it just, it takes away the effect. Stare into that man's face. And it's just, it's so weird. I think it would make more sense upside down. It would. Give it a look. It's like a Kirby nemesis of some kind.
It actually kind of looks like, did you ever play Ocarina of Time?
Yes.
The two like witch sisters in the spirit temple.
Right.
Kind of looks like one of them. I don't know why I thought ridiculous. Of that reference, but
just a crazy, crazy mask. Someone, he put that on and said, "What do you think?" Someone lied to him immediately after, because that is a silly, silly mask. Luckily, Ophidian is a hell of a performer and makes that hot piece of garbage work. He makes anything work. You can literally put hot piece of garbage over him. He'd make it work somehow. So, anyway, this went off on a weird tangent about his mask, but the rebuttal to that is Satyrene's is just perfect. I mean, that's, you know, you see plenty of her face, so she's still masked, as it were. But you can still get a good look. You can still convey emotion. It's kind of cool. We've commented before that white getup, the white and gold getup that she had at the pay-per-view was awesome. Yeah,
baller.
Which she was teaming with. Yeah, that was so cool. So another thing, I really miss hearing Walk Like an Egyptian all the time in Shikara shows.
Yeah,
the actual song came on the radio. No, it was on a playlist that my girlfriend was like cleaning and had it on, and I just suddenly it broke my heart. I was like, I haven't seen that Snake Man dance to that song in so long. It's a terrible travesty.
That's what you have DVDs for, or MP4s, or whatever they're.
Right. Yeah. Well, in this case, it would be DVDs. But yeah, it's. It's tragic. I'm going to say what everyone else is thinking. Here it comes, and I know it's going to offend a lot of people. I don't care, all right? I don't think Amasis would get too upset if ACH just happened to stumble into a mask.
I'm just saying!
The man, it's not the same thing. You'd have to call him, like, Amasis 2.
Okay.
You know, like Egyptian Boogaloo. And, it's very similar. They're both very skilled wrestlers. They both clearly have a gift for charisma and of the dance.
And, you are just dancing around the obvious one. You're just dancing around.
It's not as if I said no one would notice. I'm not sure how many would notice, but certainly.
You're also talking to the guy who said that that just Kenny King should just have worn Shelton Benjamin's tights. And just snuck back into the company. They would notice that Shelton Benjamin got better, so that's, you know, that's a thing.
Wow. But,
otherwise, I don't think anyone would know. We should quickly move away from this topic,
probably, because it's only going to get worse. We're going to attempt to dig out of the hole, and we're just going to dig further in, because that's how holes work.
People think I'm the one from Georgia if I keep going.
Right, yeah, exactly. Oh, man. I live in an offensive part of this
country. I can't even imagine. I mean,
you can't. Like, it's so funny. Like, every once in a while, I'm just going along with everyday life, and then I'm sucked into an accidental conversation of people opining about the days of, like, owning other people.
And then you're like, whoa, okay, checking out of this conversation.
I'm like, oh, yeah, people are still terrible.
Yeah.
So,
well, hey, yeah. Man, I can drive probably a couple hours, you know, one way or the other in this state and find somebody who thinks that way.
Oh yeah. I mean, there are very few places that if I had a hierarchy of places I wouldn't set foot in, and I know where you actually live, so I'm not commenting on that. You know, there'd be a lot of places I wouldn't want to set foot. Iraq would be up there. You know, Qatar, wouldn't want to go to Qatar. West Virginia is in that list.
Yeah.
Globally, of places I wouldn't want to go to. It sounds like a horrible place.
It really does. Can't say I've been.
Good. Well, of course, no one can say anyone that says they've been to West Virginia right after, they get really glassy eyed and just look down and like sort of tighten up. Because we know what happens.
Necro butchers from there. That's all I need to say.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, okay. So there's one more match we have here, and that is, as you alluded to, the annual tag gauntlet. But I'm going to give you the official name that they gave it. The annual 10-team elimination winner stays on overly long, over the budget tag team gauntlet match, which is pretty honest. So yeah, basically this will be a 10-team gauntlet match on night 3 where teams look to accrue points to get a title shot. It's happened a couple years in a row now. Actually, 2009, Mike Quackenbush and Jigsaw scored their third point in that match. Who won the 2010 one? Why can't I remember this?
Hollowicked and Frightmare? Hollowicked and Frightmare?
That doesn't sound right. I'm going to look this up.
I'll look it in Ultramantis.
What I do know is last year, the Osaka Pro team of Daisuke Harada and Atsushi Kotoge won the tournament, and you, Justin, were the one who predicted that, so congratulations.
Yeah!
Like a year later, congratulations. I know, like...
Thanks for that. Yeah, and again, another reason that there's no reason to publicize. If we're getting those details right, you don't put our show out there. It's just going to lead people to, you know...
Yep, you were right, by the way. Halligan and Frightmare, they beat Sarah Ray and Daisy in the final match of the
tournament.
Yeah! That's right, because they had 4 points at that point, and then they went to challenge Claudio and Aries in Anniversary Weekend. All right, Mr. Fancy Pants, let's see you predict this match again twice in a row.
Oh, man. Okay. The Tag Team Gauntlet Match. Woo! The Bravados.
Yes! Give me a hug.
Come here. Yeah. No, not there. Yeah, right there. Okay. All right. Whew. That's a good one.
That's more awkward than Kane and Brian Danielson's hug.
Well, yes. That was... that storyline pleases me so much. I can't even...
it's pretty great.
It's the best part of wrestling today.
It is. It's pretty awesome. So, Bravados, I like it. I like where your head's at. I have a couple thoughts as well. I'd love to see the Sendai girls take this, Dash Chisako and Sendai Sachiko. They already have 2 points. If we get our first ever intergender champion in a state playoffs match, that'd be pretty fun. We had our first one with the Young Lions Cup in Japan, but we're never going to see it. So you might as well do it again with the Campeonatos de Parejas.
And it would be a brothers and sisters match again, too.
It would. Oh, man, it would. Look at that. The Powers of Pain could also pull a demolition and win this and get a point and then just never return. Maybe unlikely, though. Although, but they could have the Devastation Corporation come into this and perhaps get... You know what? They have a point. They just need two, and then they have a title shot, and we're off to the races.
Does that baseball show count?
I think it does.
It's in the official results. So.
It is, yeah. It's, you know, it's on Smart Mark Video. How much more official do you need it to be? It would also mean that
letter.
Los Ice Creams have 2 points. Halloween and Manus have 2 points. So our dream of Los Ice Creams getting another title shot is drawing nigh.
Whee! And against the Young Bucks. Oh my gosh, that'd be so fun.
See, now you're getting all excited again.
I am. It's an exciting weekend. I like Chikara again. I'm looking forward to the two shows
finally
coming out. I know it took a while, but to be fair, they were pumping out some hot garbage that was pretty impalatable for me at times. They sort of, I don't know, they're on their way to fixing it, to getting rid of some elements. I'm really just afraid this Gekido thing is never just not going to end anytime soon.
I hear you. I think it'll be fine. It'll be okay.
You keep saying that, but it's not. It's not.
But it will be. Well, you have to give it a year. You have to at least wait for 2012 to finish.
Why?
Because
there's not going to be a 2012. The material you're going to eat everyone.
Okay, well then. Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're going to be stuck with this. Like, maybe as, like, kobolds devouring my quirk, I'm thinking, well, I really didn't give the Gekido a big enough chance.
Well, maybe they'll spare us when they win King of Trios.
You think they'll just go away?
No, I think they'll just be too happy. They'll be like, you know what?
Oh,
you guys can live.
They'll take their mask off and just be like, it's all good now.
What mask?
The Gekido.
Oh, the Gekido. Yeah. Okay.
Who do you think was it? Well, I was talking about.
The Batyri. I'm like, they don't wear masks.
Oh, you thought Batyri was... Oh, you thought they were too nice to kill us. No, that's outrageous. That'll get you killed quicker.
True. But no, but they want to be kings. They want to reign over all of us. They don't want to end the world. They want to enslave us more so than destroy us.
I guess that's true. We need to really tap into their motivations a little bit more. We could use some Batyri. They need a seminar of malevolence. That would be incredible.
It really would. You know, Manus keeps saying he's going to take over Chakar in the world, and really, I mean, what's he done?
I don't know. Gotten wackier.
Said, I was going to say, said some things in his great voice.
Yes, that's pretty much it. But the Batyri, I mean, they've done even less. No, they've done exactly the same, because neither one of them have won a damn thing. So
exactly. So that's King of Trios, I guess. I'm really excited for it.
I'm pretty excited. It's a radically different tournament than last year. It would have been stupid for them to try to top last year. And so instead of going for match quality, they're going for insanity. And I think that's a goal that Chikara can achieve.
It's a fair trade, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the big push. I'm going to be there all 3 days, and I'm going to be there for the fan conclave as well, which has some things going on. And I will be live tweeting results for the Pro Wrestling Ponderings account from the shows. So please, 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 if you do not follow us on Twitter already, follow at PW Ponderings. If people ask where they can find Chikara results, please pass along that Twitter handle. Anybody who can get some new followers come with us, great. If not, I hope the people who follow us now are going to enjoy the results, because you know me, if there's any little details or stuff that I think people need to know, I will for sure be live tweeting them from there. And maybe if there's some other fun shenanigans and stuff, I'll take pictures and stuff and put it on the Twitter feed too. So you want to be sure you're following at PW Ponderings this weekend, the only source you need for all of your King of Trios information. I'm also going to be attempting to do post-show podcasts after each night. That depends on a lot of things, how tired I am, if I can find someone to co-host with me. I think I can. I mean, that part shouldn't be a problem, but you know, how is the Wi-Fi in the hotel we're staying at? What's our night looking like? What's our morning looking like? There's a lot of X factors there, so I don't want to promise podcasts, but know that it's on my mind, and I will bring equipment to make it happen if I can. So if we can do it, I'd like to do one podcast per night, so just keep your eyes peeled for that. And I'm sure Smart Mark's going to crank out those shows right quick when they're over anyways, so, and I'm going to assure you they're probably all going to be worth purchasing, so buy the MP4s or the video on demands or the DVDs or what have you when they come out. So that's our push, kingoftrios.com. Go if you have the means. That's all I got, Justin. You got anything else to say? Any matches?
Yeah, I have a Twitter.
No, I'm sorry, not plugs, but anything, any other potential fantasy matches on night two or three that you would like to see?
No. I'm totally surprised by everything so far. I plan on being surprised by the whole tournament, and I want to talk about my Twitter.
Okay, well, so there's that. And now before we end the show, we obviously have our plugs to do. So Justin,
my Twitter!
You don't tweet ever.
I don't. That's the best part.
The only time you tweet is to make fun of Ryan Rozanski, which is why your Twitter is my favorite Twitter.
Okay, yeah. He posts, he needs Twitter lessons. He really does.
Oh fuck. I'm gonna meeting that idiot this weekend. He's gonna be a King of Trios.
He's a goofball. He means well, but
no, Ryan, if you're listening, Ryan, if you're listening, I'm just gonna beat the hell out of you. Okay, just know that.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty bloody, and not in the friendly places like a head or a knee. It's gonna be in the stool, buddy.
Oh, Jesus.
He's gonna put the hurting on you.
Okay, talk about Twitter some more, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I want to talk about my Twitter. Okay, it's Justin J. Houston. I haven't been posting anything. I'll retweet people occasionally, but I've just been sort of surfing on it for a while. I think I posted something like really ominous recently, and then I kind of made fun of Ryan because he doesn't understand what Twitter is supposed to be, or no, he doesn't understand what it shouldn't be, which is comments like, "I woke up today and I just thought, man, you know."
I think he had one.
Don't tweet that.
I think he had one that was like, "Man, I hate going to the dentist." And you just said, and you just said, you're tweeting what we're all thinking, and like really sarcastic, all caps lock, because it was the best.
It's the only way I know how to tweet him now. It's just, it's ridiculous. Some of the things he posts, like, I don't know what I kind of want to see responses to him if it's other people like him going, oh, man, I had the same thing. I woke up and I was like, you know? Like, if it's just like people talking but with text.
And like 13 13 retweets of it or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Jeez, maybe he knows what he's doing and we don't know. Maybe we're using it wrong. Maybe it's supposed to be just for like perfunctory remarks about what you did that morning. That's what I'm going to tweet Ryan Rosansky style for a little while. I'm just going to tweet stuff.
Well, you know it's better than telling me things about, you know, every time a play happens in a football game having to comment on it.
Yeah, I won't be doing that. I've spared you from that because, you know, you're a friend and I know you hate that crap. So, you'll get a football tweet a week.
But well, here's the thing. Like,
for the future, I'm going to be tweeting Ryan Rosansky style.
You tweeted something about the Gators. One thing. One thought on the game at lunch. Fine. I can live with that.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to be the Twitter Nazi, but when someone just tweets like, come on, Jets. Yeah, like, nice tweet.
You got to think that, like, Mark Sanchez, the quarterback, was like, come on, Jets. Yeah, we do need to come on. Okay, this guy's right. All right? Jizz fan 37.
Dude,
he knows what's up.
I thought the same thing when I was at for God knows what reason, was at a football game this weekend. It was a UVA Penn State game. And I went, and people were just, you know, like, oh, come on, Hoos, come on, Lions. I'm thinking, I'm like, what teammate on the football field is going to look up to that person and be like, hey, man, thanks. I'm going to do this play just for you.
Yes. And just one last piece of Twitter etiquette. It's not worth tweeting if you wouldn't be okay with it being the last thing you ever did.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good advice, people.
You know, it's just like if you read it and you go, man, this is dog shit. I wouldn't want this to be on my tombstone. You know, got a case of the Mondays again. Waka waka. You know, like just get rid of it. Get out of there. Tweet something worthwhile, you know, something poignant or destructive or hilarious. Those are your three categories. Poignant, destructive, hilarious.
Yep. So that's Twitter lessons from a guy who doesn't tweet.
Yeah, you're welcome. Twitter etiquette from a guy, who doesn't tweet. So, because I don't have anything interesting to say. I don't just, like, tweet stuff.
But I always wonder what you're doing. I feel like you just sit and stew about your car all day.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna hashtag it. Ryan Rosansky's tweets. Ryan Rosansky tweets. And I'm just going to like tweet like him. I'm just going to tweet whatever I'm doing, whatever casual, stupid thing. And when I think of it, I'm just going to tweet it. And that's what you're getting from now on. And if you want it to stop, then tell Ryan Rosansky to improve his Twitter because it's outrageous some of the things he tweets. He'll learn.
Oh, he man. Will. If we had more time, I would totally go through his Twitter and just read some of the things he's tweeted.
I just. It's silly to jump on him like this, but I'm so tired. Every time I read them, I do this. I go, ugh. Like, come on. Something interesting, you know? He's going to come out with a doozy at some point.
I just feel like this is a kid who he should know better, and he just doesn't. He is like.
I think he knows better and just says, nah, forget it.
No, I don't think that's it at all. I think he's just the most naive person on the planet Earth.
All right, which is
charming.
Out.
But he also
it's adorable, you know. It's
he also
just like a koala.
He also cranks out reviews for pwponderings.com like a madman. So I can only rag on him so much. When it comes to the quality of his work, it's top notch. So at least there's that.
He works hard. We're hardly working. So.
Hey, bullshit! I'm working pretty damn hard.
Well, then I'm hardly working. I needed a friend under the bus.
No,
all right?
No, sir.
I'm dragging you with me.
You apparently haven't been at JakarSpecial.com lately, where I'm doing reviews and stuff.
I haven't been. If I had, I would have posted those photo comments like you keep very nicely asking me.
That's
to do,
the Tumblr. That's the Tumblr, not the review blog.
How many things do you have?
Well, let me go through them.
Oh, shit.
JakarSpecial.com. That's my Jakar review blog. The Eddie Kingston and Kevin Steen Boiling Point match in Ring of Honor I reviewed, and then the Reading charity show for baseball. By the way, I felt like a tremendous dick reviewing a show that was for charity, but I did it anyways. So it's there for your enjoyment.
You weren't paid to do it, though.
I was there or was not?
No, you weren't. I mean, that's where you got to draw a line.
Right. No, I paid the $11.99 for the MP4 from SmartMark, and I downloaded it, and it's lovely quality, and it's a really fun show.
Right. Your karma's clear.
Okay, great. So, those reviews are up at JakarSpecial.com. And then Chikara Special at Tumblr.com is my Chikara News Tumblr, where all the news officially and unofficially from Chikara, videos, match announcements, podcasts, everything of the ilk, all that goes on that Tumblr, and it's the one-stop shop for anything and everything Chikara that you need. And Justin does a great job over at Open the Tumblr, which is Dragon Gate Tumblr, which I actually stole the idea for the Chikara one from. And Adam, who runs that, he collects a ton of images, and Justin goes through and puts funny captions on them. So just, and whenever I post a Chikara picture or a GIF or something on my Tumblr, it by far gets the most retweets and like reblogs of anything else. So people really like them. So I had found about over a dozen images and thrown them on the drafts of the Tumblr to kind of do the same that Justin does. I'm like, hey, Justin, come over to the Chikara Special, type in your funny words, and then we'll post some pictures and we'll feel better about ourselves because we'll have people liking things that we do. Justin hasn't done anything, and I've had these pictures sitting there for like a month. I just keep adding to the collection, hoping one day I'll go in there and there will be comments on everything and I'll be happy. Hasn't happened yet, so.
I just keep forgetting they exist.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll get on that one day. You know now that it exists. So.
It's true. I've been shamed and it's been drilled into my head, so it will it'll happen, Captain.
Great. Oh, and then you can follow me on Twitter at kford13, K-F-O-R-D-1-3. I don't tweet like Ryan Rosansky. I think my tweets are pretty okay. And then, of course, as I said, please follow at PW Ponderings on Twitter for all your King of Trios results this weekend. And then if you want to follow my Tumblr and all that other stuff on Twitter, at Chikara Special is what you want to follow. So that's everything I've got. Justin, are you ready to get out of here?
Yes. I'm hungry. I ate already, but I'm going to eat more.
Well, thanks for doing the show, buddy. That's always a good time. I'm glad that we could reconcile our awkward ending to the last show and come together, rebrand the show as Viva Chikara. It will be Viva Chikara from now on. Do we want to come back? Do we want to talk about the Piedmont, Alabama show? Are you going to be up for that, or are you going to be upset?
I will be very upset. For people that don't know, I'm supposed to go to that show. I had tickets to that show. And I booked a vacation for myself and my fantastic roommates and roommate's kid as sort of a gift to them. And I booked it over that weekend accidentally, not thinking about it. So I think my dad's probably going to be the only one going, and he has like three tickets, and he can't find anyone to go with him. So I don't know. I'm going to be upset. Hopefully, not hopefully. It's a terrible card. I hope it's a great card. I hope it's something everyone wants to go to, and I hope lots of people show up. But I'm just going to be very angry about it.
You know, Justin, I'm calling it right now. Los Ice Creams versus Young Bucks at that show.
Ah, man, no. Don't say things like that.
Sorry.
I mean, I can live with missing, like, Bravado's Young. I don't want to miss the Young Bucks at all. Those guys are pretty exciting live.
Mm.
I don't want to miss a title defense
right.
live.
Right.
I never got to see a title match. So I'm hoping they do whatever they do. They do the big stuff in Gibson, but I really do hope Alabama's a good show, but I hope they don't do anything. Don't do anything that I would have missed seeing live. It better all translate to DVD, or I'll be furious and cry a lot.
All right, then. Well,
on that note.
But we will be back for Viva Chikara to talk those shows in 3 weeks' time, something like that. It's a pretty short turnaround from King of Trios there. But yeah,
it is.
But yeah, go to King of Trios if you have the means, and if not, be sure to buy those shows when they come out, probably the next day. So, for Justin Houston, it's been Kevin Ford. Thank you for listening to Viva Chikara, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks.